we have a God who is so great and so powerful that what looks like insanity to us, that a man would hang naked on a tree, bleeding and suffocating, is the salvation of the whole world. That is his, as you said, his glory. That's what Jesus says. The Father will glorify me when he raises me up. That is his glory is truly an amazing thing. And that can only really be grasped by faith.
Hey, it's time for Mid-South Viewpoint on this Good Friday here on the Bot Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler. Thanks, friend, for stopping by. I also host a program called Pastor's Forum. It's a show that airs on Sundays here on the Bot Radio Network, AM 640, 93.7, and 100.7 FM. It's just a joy to meet various pastors in our local community and about their ministry. And recently, I had Pastor Sawyer Myers of Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, located in Olive Branch, Mississippi, in for the program. And we recorded a couple of shows. And I'm telling you, I was just really enjoying our time together. And I was thinking, I could just sit here and do probably two or three more pastor's forums with Sawyer. Sawyer, I was really enjoying our time.
Yeah, same here.
And that's why I decided to say we need to do a Mid-South Viewpoint where we can just talk for about 30 minutes, which is this show length. First of all, we discovered you grew up outside Little Rock area. Your father was a pastor at one time. You came from a Christian home. They weren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that's the environment you grew up in. The Lord directed you into the ministry. You were preparing to go to seminary. Prior to that, you went to Concordia?
Yeah, everything's named Concordia in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I went to a Concordia College in River Forest, Illinois, of which there are about 9 or 10 undergrad universities. And then I went to a Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, of which there's another one in St. Louis. Okay. So very confusing.
Not to be confused with an accordion.
Right. Not to be confused with an accordion. The word Concordia is actually the name of the book, which is the Lutheran Confessions, the book of documents that we hold to as our confessional standard.
The precursor to those documents was the 95 Theses.
That's right.
That Luther nailed on the wall in Wittenberg, Germany, way back in the 1500s.
That's right.
But foundationally, the Lutheran Church has kind of held to these particular statements of faith?
Yeah, statements of faith. They just explain the growing out of the debates with the Roman Catholics, but also with the Reformed later on, explain the Lutheran understanding of the scriptures. And we confess that they are a right exposition of the Holy Scriptures.
Now, philosophy was the track that you took through college. Tell me about that aspect and why you kind of leaned into an intellectual side.
Yeah, I was always fascinated by kind of reading and studying and languages especially, and just thinking about these big questions of life. Who are we? Where did we come from? The standard question, right? But what's the meaning of life, right? These kind of questions, they always fascinated me. I tried to do something practical when I first went to college. I think I was a major in sociology or something, in case the pastor philosophy, biblical languages thing didn't work out. But after day two of college, I switched my major to philosophy, which is what I really wanted to do. And I didn't tell my parents because they were encouraging me to do something practical in case this didn't work out.
Like your dad wanted you to be an English teacher, right?
He didn't want me to be an English teacher. He said, if I majored in philosophy and biblical languages, that's what I would end up doing because that's what he did. So, but no, they're proud of me now and everything worked out. So,
oh my. One of the things that kind of intrigued me, a Gallup poll that says a record low 20% of Americans now say the Bible is the literal word of God. That's down from 24% the last time the question was asked back in 2017. And half of what it was at the highest points in 1980 and in 1984, a new high of 29% say the Bible is a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts. It's all recorded by man. This marks the first time significantly more Americans have viewed the Bible as not divinely inspired as the literal word of God. What do you attribute that to?
I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that issue, a lot of cultural forces, a lot of things that have happened throughout the history of America in the last century. But at the root of the problem, it's really a spiritual issue. And everyone is spiritual. Everyone has a God that they serve. And you can see in our society that spirituality has never really gone away. Despite people being less Christian than they used to be, there's been growth in other religions. But even in what we often call kind of secularism, I think there was this, maybe this kind of lie that at least I kind of grew up with, where we believed that things that were secular were neutral, right? So public school was secular and it was neutral. It didn't take a side on any one religion. That was supposed to be the idea, that every religion had kind of free play. As we've seen, as time has gone on, the idea of secularism being neutral just doesn't work out. Public schools today, and this isn't to bash on our public schools, of course. I have members of my church that are in public school, that teach in public school, and we want to support our public schools and pray for them. But at the end of the day, you have things in public school today that are supporting things, because this is the way our culture has gone, that are blatantly anti-Christian. Think about like what books a library has in the public school, right? For instance, you either have books that falls in line with the morals of Christianity, or you have books that are against them. There's no kind of in between, right? And we have to make those decisions in our society. And I think that kind of lie of secularism that, oh, everything's neutral, that we can all have kind of a fair playing ground, that simply hasn't worked out. You hear all sorts of crazy things now from our world, like math is racist, right? If you've heard that or something like that. We've just seen over and over again now that what we really need is to be clear about what our religion is and what our spirituality is, right? And to go back maybe to that idea of philosophy, everyone has to answer those questions. Everyone has to answer the question, where did I come from? Are my ancient ancestors monkeys, or was I created by an almighty God?
Yeah, in that too, there is that intrinsic God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. We try to fill that with all kinds of things outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. As you refer to, everybody's religious, just because we don't go to church on Sunday doesn't mean we're not worshiping something.
Right. We're all trying to fill that void. And you can see it even in things like the uptick in meditation practices. People are trying to fill the void of prayer, right? Or in the uptick in therapy, people are trying to fill the void of pastoral counseling. All sorts of places, people are trying to fill these voids that God created us with, that he wants us to fill with the things that he commands in his word.
The gospel, the scripture says, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, I mean, it's our salvation. It's the message, which is a bloody, horrible event that took place in history when Jesus Christ went to the cross. It wasn't just the physical act that he had his arms stretched out on a Roman cross and were pierced and his feet were nailed to this cross, the crown of thorns and the scourging and the physical abuse that he took prior to going to the cross, but that dark hour of separation, Sawyer, when he paid the price for our sins. We'll look back in Isaiah and it says that it pleased the Father to crush him, that he was despised and rejected among men. God's plan is so much different when it comes to our salvation, but it's what he provides for us to be right with him.
I love what Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians 1, when he says that we preach Christ crucified, and that that is foolishness to the world. But he says the foolishness of God is better and greater than the wisdom of man, and the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man. Yeah. And that idea that we have a God who is so great and so powerful that what looks like insanity to us, that a man would hang naked on a tree, bleeding and suffocating, is the salvation of the whole world. that is his, as you said, his glory. That's what Jesus says. The Father will glorify me when he raises me up. That is his glory is truly an amazing thing. And that can only really be grasped by faith. That only when the word is preached and the Holy Spirit works that faith and that trust in our hearts, only then can we see and by faith understand what God is doing in our lives.
As you mentioned, it says in the word here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 28, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who become to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. It's something that was done for us that we could never do for ourselves.
That's right.
Isn't that a beautiful thing, though, that if you look at the various religions of the world, it's almost like a ladder stepping toward God. But with the faith that God calls us to in Christ, it's him stepping down to us through the cross.
That's right. We are, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, in Christ. And that being in Christ, it is such a blessing, right? That I think one of the things, going back to our conversation about the world and the lack of belief in the Bible and the problem with secularism, is that people are really having an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. And they're looking for identity in all sorts of things. This is, you know, why today some men think that they're women and vice versa, and kids think that they're cats, because there's an identity crisis. They don't know where to find themselves. And in Christianity, the beautiful thing is that we are given an identity from above. We are regenerated from above. And we are, as Paul says in Galatians, hidden in Christ.
That is so beautiful, Sawyer, because we have a tendency in our own strength to try to create, as you said, our own identity through social status, through economic status, through position. You know, people may be in the political world or the world of medicine or wherever we think that is, that we get the satisfaction. But nothing completely satisfies the human heart. There's still that emptiness that can only be met by our Creator.
That's right. Yeah. Another thing we talk about, justification, which is how are we made right with God? How are we saved, right? And this is what the medieval Roman Catholics got totally wrong, is that somehow we can be saved by something that we do. The true justification is by faith in Christ, who shed his blood for the world. And that being made right, being declared right by our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, that is a gift that compares to no other.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What hope this sweet assurance gives, that he who gave his life for me arose with healing in his wings. He lives and he will not delay. My eyes will wake to brightest day, and in my flesh I'll see him stand when Christ in glory comes again. And every eye will see him stand when Christ in glory comes again. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives on heaven's throne, and in my very soul I know my
about those, when we talk about the church and the message of the gospel, I'm trying to know how to, I can hack it on Monday, get through life. I've got all these issues, struggling with relationships and finances and wayward children, employment problems, crime around us. And we look at the gospel in light of all of that. Can the gospel be relevant to my life, not just when I die, but for living now?
Yeah, the gospel is absolutely relevant to all of those things. I think one helpful practice to realize how that is to remember death. Today in the church here is Good Friday. And on Good Friday, one of the things we do is remember not only the death of Christ, but realizing that in the death and resurrection of Christ, he had to do that because that is the punishment for sin. All people who are sinners, which is all of us who are sons of Adam, will one day die, will one day go through the wages of sin, which is death. That is, unless Jesus happens to come back before we die. But unless that happens, we will all die one day. And we should prepare for that. When you prepare for that, one of the things you can do today and really every day is think about, when I'm about to die, when I'm on my deathbed, what are the things that matter? What's important to me? And you know what? It's not whatever your career was. It's not the amount of money in your 401k. It's your family, the relationships you have with your family. It's your church and your relationship with Jesus Christ. These things absolutely matter fundamentally. And when we remember those things, when we're going through whatever we're going through on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, throughout our week, keeping those priorities straight is very helpful, and it helps us organize our life in a way that Jesus can come in and give us the right message that we truly need. And one of the messages that Jesus gives us is store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth, where moth and rust destroy. So what treasures are we storing up day to day, right? And of course, then we want to deal with those practical things as we need to. But if we get those priorities straight, those other things will fall into place. And especially as we continue to study God's word, another good book for these kinds of practical things is the Proverbs, switching gears a little bit. The Proverbs is a book from a father to his son, giving him practical everyday advice that is godly and right, that will help him get those priorities straight. The Bible has so much to say about that everyday life, but within those relationships, within these priorities that we have, the gospel affects all those things. The gospel reconciles man to God, but also helps reconcile man to man.
Sawyer, that is so true. And I was just thinking as you were speaking about the book of James, and can I refer to James to a Lutheran? Because I don't believe that Martin Luther...
So I have a confession to make. James is one of my favorite books.
Okay. So you didn't go the trend of Martin Luther when it came to the book of James?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No.
It talks about chapter 1 here in verse 2, counting it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. But verse 5 here says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I was just thinking about the fact that when we're going through the troubling times and the trials, which we all do, and as you talk about this hope that we have in Christ, God the Father offers us this wisdom that we can go to him and ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. If you keep reading that verse, James talks about how the man who lacks wisdom is unstable in all his ways. To go back to lots of what we've been talking about, I think that's what you see in our world all the time, is men who are unstable in all their ways. When they lack the wisdom of Christ, their life doesn't fit together. To think about kind of philosophically, like we've been talking about, how do you answer all these questions in a way that's coherent and that fits together? The only way that life ultimately fits together is when Christ puts the pieces together.
And friend, Christ puts those pieces together, as we've been sharing, through the gospel, where he died a death that only he could do for us. When he died on a cross, was buried, 3 days later, we know the resurrection. Sunday's coming, Pastor Sawyer. But today on this Good Friday, we remember, as you said, the death of Christ. The scripture all talks about our identity in Christ, that we died with him. We've been buried with Christ. and raised to walk in newness of life by the resurrected Savior, by God's power, through the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, that guarantee that one day we're going to be with Him forever, enjoying the glory that God had pre-planned from the very beginning. But this has been a wonderful way for us to reflect and think about, Pastor Sawyer, the life of Christ here on this Good Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Any special ways that your family celebrates this time of year? You like to lead them in celebrating?
Sure. So at Beautiful Savior and at the other church I serve in Oxford, Mississippi, Peace Lutheran, we have a very busy Holy Week. Today, a service at noon. That's long chief service. That's the hour that Jesus died on the cross. We have an evening service when it gets dark with the closing of the tomb at 6:30. And then tomorrow night, we'll have our Easter vigil where we go from the evening into Easter morning together, going from the darkness of Good Friday into the light of Easter. And then, of course, Easter morning has lots of celebrations with it as well. So we're really involved in church. We don't actually get to have our Easter dinner until Monday because we're so busy. But
in service times on Easter Sunday, what are the service times?
Beautiful Savior in Olive Branch, Mississippi, the service time is 10:15 for the service. 9 o'clock, we'll have an Easter breakfast. And then after the service, we'll have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. At Peace Lutheran in Oxford, Mississippi, service time for Easter service is at 3 o'clock p.m. That's preceded by an Easter lunch at 1 p.m.
Okay. Again, the church in Mississippi is located at 7630 Davison Road in Olive Branch. You can call the church at 662-890-7272 if you have questions or like some more information. Also, let me encourage you to visit the website at beautifulsaviorlutheran.org. Pastor Sawyer Myers, God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much
for
sharing this time with me today.
Thank you.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this Good Friday, celebrating Christ. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. See you.